This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. President Trump addressed the United Nations General Assembly yesterday and promoted the accomplishments of his administration. The president also took aim at Iran and China during the speech. He criticized Iran for sowing destruction in the Middle East, and he called out China's trade policies. The president's speech was in line with his America First stance and was met with some seeming disbelief from members of the General Assembly and laughs at least one point from delegates. Joseph Greco is a professor of political science at Duke University. Joe, welcome back to Central Time.
Rob, thank you for having me on the show.
Well, let's take a quick listen to some of President Trump's opening address. This is something that caught a lot of attention. Here it is.
Yes.
In less than 2 years, my administration has accomplished more than almost any administration in the history of our country. America's so true. Didn't expect that reaction, but that's okay. America's economy is booming like never before. Since my election, we have added $10 trillion in wealth. The stock market is at an all-time high in history, and jobless claims are at a 50-year low.
So, Joe, laughter or no, what do you make of the president opening up with this pitch about how successful the United States has been under his couple years in office so far?
Yes, it seems like, reading some of the commentary, that this is taken from his stump speech that he's been using for the midterms. I suspect it makes him feel comfortable. It also is a way of for him to lay down a marker that he has been successful. Let's face it, there's a lot of pushback both within the United States in terms of media coverage and checking on the factual accuracy of some of those statements. And I suspect that people who think back to people like Dwight Eisenhower or Harry Truman, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, that statement doesn't pass the laugh test. In other words, when you hear it, do you feel like you should laugh or could laugh, or do you repress it? And it doesn't meet that test. So it is what it is, isn't it? This is our president.
And maybe at a more substantive level, the president, again, this is nothing new, but he made the case, he said, for patriotism as a guiding ideology for the United States and other countries over what he described as a globalism. What do you make of him reaffirming that?
Yes, I that was one of the sentences that popped out, and I'm still trying to get my head wrapped around that, because patriotism is a characteristic to which we all aspire. I think most people wish to be patriots, but patriotism isn't a doctrine. It doesn't inform you, for example, on whether we should try to have lower tariffs or higher tariffs. You can be on either side of that issue, whether we should be thinking about more investment with Japan or less investment, be in favor or against it, but still be a patriot. It's a concept that it's a way of thinking. I know his staff people are looking for a way to systematize his thinking. That was one way to do it, the patriotism versus globalism idea. I also noticed he used a phrase that I hadn't seen before, something called principled realism, that he wishes that he wants to suggest that that's a way of offering his thoughts in a kind of a framework. So I suspect his staff is trying to do that, trying to put together or rearticulate or translate his kind of disparate views into a systematic way of thinking about foreign affairs. And these are lines that are being used, and perhaps they'll at some point actually come together into some sort of coherent line of thinking. But I would have to say, people who are in favor of working through the WTO, they can be patriots. Those who don't think we should be working through the WTO, they're patriots. So I don't think patriotism is a doctrine.
President Trump seemed to consistently make the case that participating in global institutions, maybe like the WTO, maybe multilateral trade agreements, the World Court, other institutions like that, came at the expense of American sovereignty. And he's saying we, the United States, should tip the balance back toward sovereignty over these multinational institutions and recommending to other countries, hey, you ought to do the same thing. Did you see that?
Yes, I think there are two issues. One is that he is ascribing problems the United States has had in trade in terms of having a competitive economy, on the one hand, to the behavior of certain states such as China, and he can be on strong grounds on some of those claims. I think there are problems with currency manipulation on the part of China, forced technology transfer, theft of intellectual property. There are real problems out there, dumping, suppression of unions in the country that work to the disadvantage of the United States and, in particular, U.S. workers. On the other hand, he seems to think that the World Trade Organization is an instrument by which China undertakes those actions. Actually, it's one of the ways by which people can raise concerns about Chinese behavior. We should remember, who was it that wanted to bring about a World Trade Organization? It was the United States. And before that, the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, the United States. Usually these institutions, such as the IMF, they are not instruments that work against the United States. They are often instruments by which the United States works with other partners to achieve common ends. So it's a case where Mr. Trump has some elements of correct analysis, the problem of China, and he conflates them with these arguments that, I have to say, don't easily stand up to strict scrutiny.
We're talking to Joseph Greco right now, political science professor at Duke University. He's with us to talk about President Trump's address at the UN General Assembly yesterday. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we continue our conversation about President Trump's speech before the UN General Assembly yesterday. In the speech, President Trump talked about the strength of the United States economy under his administration and criticized Iran and China. Joe Greco is with us, political science professor at Duke University. You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. We'll go to a caller now. Karen is with us in Shell Lake. Karen, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. One of my concerns is, as was mentioned, with the oppression of unions in this country. We see that in China, and we're seeing an awful lot of it here, in Wisconsin in particular. And I was wondering where that places us in terms of how we look at wealth. We seem to be paying more attention to dictatorships like North Korea or Russia than we are to our allies, and I wonder how that plays out on the world stage. And I also wonder, when we talk about the bull market, how little impact that has on people who are poor.
Well, I want to jump in, Karen, because we have not much time, and you gave us a lot to work with there. Let's start with that point. Karen's concerned, Joe, about the U.S., she says, paying more attention to dictatorships than U.S. allies. Can you address that?
Understood. Karen's right that there is it's totally understandable that in a speech at the UN, there's going to be attention paid to international security problems, since the UN is one of the venues where such issues are addressed, especially at the UN Security Council. More broadly, though, I think she's right that there's a imbalance in attention paid by the Trump administrations to the sources, for example, of relative wage stagnation and income stagnation, especially for families in the middle or working class sectors. And the idea that tariffs are a solution for that, I think, is misguided. Instead, better unions, stronger unions in the United States, stronger worker rights, better working conditions for workers in third world countries abroad would be a better solution. One thing that's missing in the Trump administration is a serious discussion, for example, or any kind of policy regarding vocational training, apprenticeship programs, the kind of programs that make Germany, for example, a very strong exporter, notwithstanding the fact that they have very high labor costs, wages, and a very strong labor, a very strong unionized labor force. So I guess that's why I understand the appeal that Mr. Trump has to a lot of people with the discussion of tariffs. Tariffs, though, are not going to produce a stronger working class.
I want to peek in on what President Trump had to say about Iran during the speech.
Yes.
Here's part of what he had to say.
Iran's leaders sow chaos, death, and destruction. They do not respect their neighbors or borders or the sovereign rights of nations. Instead, Iran's leaders plunder the nation's resources to enrich themselves and to spread mayhem across the Middle East and far beyond.
And Joe, President Trump, of course, critical, very critical of the Iran nuclear deal in the presidential campaign and afterward. What did you think of what the president had to say about Iran?
It's very hard to disagree with him in some respects. And indeed, most of U.S. allies, for example, the French president, Mr. Macron, today at the U.N. Security Council, basically said, Mr. Trump, you're right about Iran. Iran does sow discord, does sow violence. It is pursuing a ballistic missile program that is of concern. The question is to address those behaviors, to persuade Iran not to undertake those behaviors. You have to ask yourself, is breaking the nuclear deal, which was designed to address a particular problem, namely the steady march by Iran towards the ability of having enough enriched uranium to build atomic bombs, whether breaking that treaty gets you to the point where you can address these other problems. And I'd have to say, 2 years on, it's not clear that that strategy is working. Keeping the nuclear deal, but also then raising these other issues, which is what the Europeans want to do, and I think they're on pretty solid grounds, might be the smarter strategy. This strategy by Mr. Trump divides the United States from precisely the countries we need to put pressure on Iran, and those are Iran's major trading countries, partners, namely in Europe.
We'll leave it there for now. Joe, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yes, Rob. It was a great pleasure to be on your show.
That's Joseph Greco, political science professor at Duke University. He joins today to talk about the address President Trump delivered at the UN yesterday and U.S. foreign policy under the Trump administration.